if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast 206. This is our 2022 RBC Heritage Tips podcast. Paul Williams and Barry O'Hanrahan join me, Steve Bamford, discuss this week's PGA Tour action and betting selections. Good evening, gents.
Good evening, afternoon, one of the two. Good afternoon, champs.
You all right there, Paul? Good afternoon, good evening, hello. The Masters is over.
It frazzled my mind.
Please subscribe to this podcast as you drive the popularity of the show. This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit begambleaware.org for more information. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world famous golf betting system website with our in-depth betting previews. I'll put a link in the description to my RBC Heritage preview. Tournament strokes gained analysis, which I found very interesting this week, Paul, that you pulled together for us. Yeah. Tournament form statistics and our PGA Tour predictive model. All of these features, like this podcast, are completely free of charge with no paywall. We're on Twitter. Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. You can join our Golf Betting System Facebook group. The link is available in the description box. Plus, look out for the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where I present the Golf Betting Show every week. Please subscribe and like the shows. Now, you guys, as listeners, power this podcast, so we need your five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. I've got a couple to read here, chaps. They're both from the United States of America. We actually got, I must say, we did get an influx, and I mean the word influx, of Irish reviews last week, Barry. So thank you to you and your brethren. I don't know if it was you or your friends or whatever, but we got some Irish reviews came in. So I will read them out in later episodes. Right, this one is entitled At Paul Poodle. Paulie Poodle, 5 stars. World-class golf insight delivered by world-class gents. And that is from Big Fan 8675309. He's in the US of A. And we've also got a second one. Michael Caine gives golf tips, 5 stars. If you enjoy the soothing voice of Michael Caine and wagering on golf, there's absolutely no reason why you would not enjoy this podcast. Keep up the good work, gentlemen. And that is from Mike Tullow in the US of A.
It's a recurring theme, isn't it, Steve? This Michael Caine familiarity and reference to your...
We've never got our heads around who is Michael Caine.
It's got to be you, Steve.
Is it Barry? Is it me? Is it you?
Someone tweet Steve and let him know.
Yeah. people have called Barry English quite regularly on comments that we've received.
Mm.
We've had recent comments saying that Barry is a posh Irish person that watches rugby.
I do.
I don't know why people have got things against Irish people that watch rugby union, but this guy did, didn't he? I don't know what his beef was.
Barry? Nah, he was only messing. We sorted that all out on YouTube.
Did you sort it out in the end?
Oh, it was fine, yeah. I think you missed the point. You're just missing the Irish humour, Steve.
Was That's it like, Irish humour that I was, completely couldn't get my head around?
Right over your head, yeah, exactly. You must have been having afternoon tea or something like that.
Tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
Right, let's talk about the Masters quickly. I thought it was excellent. I thought that our synopsis, our analysis, our future proofing in terms of what the weather was going to do, what the agronomy was, what the course was going to do, was pretty much bang on.
Yep.
So the forecasting, you have to say, was bob on. So well done to Windfinder and the likes that we use, because you have to say the forecast was brilliant from quite a way out. I think even on the Friday that we did the research podcast, it kind of was plotted out what might happen, and it did. I was amazed how fast those greens were on Thursday, bearing in mind that course had 5.5 millimetres of, oh, sorry, 5.5 inches of rain. Unbelievable. They barely looked like they had any kind of water on them. They were releasing pretty much from Thursday morning, which, yeah, I thought was phenomenal.
Yeah, they can control them to whatever degree they want. And whilst they can't control the amount of water that comes in from the skies, once it does land, they can do something about it. It drains quickly and they just get that sub-air cranked up to full speed in a way.
Well, they had a tinge of brown in them.
They did, yeah.
On Thursday morning, so they clearly just notched the old sub-air up for like a week earlier just to clear up as much as they could. The players did say they were as fast as they've ever seen them in practice, so clearly yeah. they weren't mucking about them. And it was a decent tournament. The only thing I was slightly disappointed with, that Scotty Scheffler was so bloody good. He kind of, he had it won almost on Friday night. And when you looked historically at the gap that, you know, the odd player had thrown away, there was a little bit of a bone there that Svartzel had won in like 2011 from 6 back and Scheffler was 5 ahead. But there wasn't a lot to go on.
Mm.
And that guy, I mean, his rise is just, I've seen nothing like it. From him winning in Phoenix to what he's achieved. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, the thing is now, he's, what, a good couple of points clear in terms of yep. the world ranking number one position. And those points are so recent. I mean, was it 4 wins in 6 starts? They're so recent that it's going to take yep. someone to do an awful lot and quickly to get back to, you know, knocking him off that perch. And given how he's playing, you can't see it, can you? You know, how he reacts after winning the Masters, and to your point, he was, you know, the deserved champion, wasn't he? There was you couldn't contest that someone else deserved to win that title. He was the best player on the week.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Undoubted.
The long game was good enough. The short game was incredible. The boy can putt. There's no flaws weakness. In his game, is there? There's no flaws. Very impressed.
It was frustrating how good he was playing. I mean, just because we hadn't backed him. But, yep. I mean, the bookies priced himself and Smith so perfectly. It was just that torturous number where you're thinking, I can't back him. You know, so we got put off by the price. We went hunting for value elsewhere. We found it in Lowry. That still didn't hit as well as backing Smith and Scheffler would have. And yeah, I'm sure there are lots of people out there who just said those are the two hottest players out there right now. I'm just backing the two of them win only and wait for one of them to win.
Yeah. Yep. Guess what? They were the two that were contending on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. Yep.
That moment where Smith went birdie-birdie and they both lashed it left on 3.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was kind of off the planet, wasn't it? It was quite funny. I saw that one of the balls like landing almost between some gentleman's legs on his fold-up chair in the middle of the trees. That did amuse me at that point. But for Scheffler to miraculously make birdie and Smith to then make bogey, I think that was a mortal blow.
Mm.
It just took all of that pressure and momentum away from Smith
yep.
in what was a head-to-head finish.
Yeah. I mean, he did so well to drag him back to almost parity by the 12th tee, you know, mm. and then just
it
made...
He was always fighting against the tide, wasn't he?
Yeah, but made the fatal mistake. Like, you just can't go after that pin on 12. You just see it time and time again, year yeah. after year after year. You're trying to dial up an absolutely perfect shot and hope the conditions or the wind doesn't screw you on that. And yeah, he failed.
Yeah.
He had to just play the smart shot, leave himself a 20-footer, and then try and make it back on the other holes.
Yeah. If you try, you take that flag on, you hit it a bit long and left, you can get away with it, but short and right, it's not going to work, is it?
No.
And that was his race run. I mean, you got to applaud Rory McIlroy. I thought he had a fantastic round. I thought the body language was incredibly positive, as it should be from a round like that towards the end, and I wonder if that will spur him on now for the forthcoming season. Also got to applaud Shane Lowry. I know all three of us were on Shane, and well done, Steve. He was part of your main selections, and Barry and I backed him as well. And after that shot on the par three fourth, wasn't it?
Oh, my God.
Mate, that triple. I had a nightmare situation that we were going to end up with nothing.
Mm.
But for him to fight back, phenomenal.
Yeah.
That shot, there's a hole that, on a course that Steve and I play, this similar kind of length, 220-ish, and you absolutely can't hit it right. Absolutely can't hit it right. There's trees all, you know, if you were in there, you're dead, basically. And that shot he played was reminiscent, Steve, of a shot that you or I would play when we're just talking to ourselves saying, don't hit it right, don't hit it right. And you play this big, high slice straight into the tree.
The most
dangerous. Well, mine are never high, but they do slice.
The most dangerous word in golf is don't. Because as soon as you say the word right after don't, all your brain hears is right, and it goes, okay. And the ball's going there. Look, that's probably one of the worst shots he's played in years. And, yeah, it's going to hurt. The thing is, like, his strokes gained approach for the week, he's minus, pretty much minus one on strokes gained approach for the whole week. And yeah. I don't think he hit the ball that badly in his approach game. He was, honestly, the margins and like 1 or 2 feet or 1 or 2 yards this way or that way with some of his shots where it could have ended up being phenomenal. The amount of times it felt like he was just so close to it being perfect. It really stung. You know, there was a lot of little ones there. He must have been kicking himself thinking, well, can I just get that little break? And it just didn't fall for him. But, I mean, still played really, really well. And it's a shame. Like, round three was a bit of a shame. His wedges really let him down. Like, a poor wedge on 8, poor wedge on 9, poor wedge on 13. Well, 13 is the whole, like, I think they messed the layup. They fudged the layup between the two of them or whatever happened. And so he had a poor wedge there. And 15 was a tricky enough one, but still wasn't a great wedge. And he needed a great wedge at that time. So that kind of, he left 3 or 4 out there on Saturday, and that just put him in a position where he was too far back going into Sunday to have a realistic chance. But great week. You know, I'm happy with the call because the three of us managed to grab him, somebody who hasn't breached the top 20 at Augusta. So it was a good pick, I think, between us.
Yeah. There was many a player would have hit that but treble bogey and would have just collapsed completely, and you'd have ended up, he'd finished 21st or something, and you'd have just been. Mm-hmm. But for Shane to fight back, I thought that showed a lot of courage. Yeah, I tell you, here's a trend for you chaps. Sergio Garcia, around the green when they arrived at Augusta. Around the green ranking, 24th Garcia, Reed 5th, Woods 5th, DJ 42nd, Matsuyama 18th. Scotty Scheffler, 33rd. So there you go. You need people in the top. I'm noting this. This is going down all my. We need people next year around the green ranking of 40 and above.
Yep.
Yeah. Just every year, and we said all along that is why Victor Hovland, unless he improves his around the green game, cannot win at Augusta, because that place stretches you so much around the greens when you miss. It's unbelievable. But that trend is crazy. 24-5-5, 42-18, and now 33. Their ranking last 6 Masters winners around the green. And people often don't say, oh, I don't even put around the green into my model, my predictive model. I'm not interested. Augusta, you've seriously got to have short game. Just got to have it. Also, Cam Smith, he ranked 20th for around the green. Heading into Augusta. Crazy, man.
Yeah, and just from eyeballing it, it's clear why. You know.
This other thing, Paul. I mean, look, Danny Willett was 8th in the ranking, yeah? Mm. Sung Jae-im, 11th.
Yep.
You know, there's pretty much anyone that was near the top of that leaderboard is in this ranking. Matsuyama, he gave it a good go, didn't he? Top 40. Cam Smith, 20th. JT, 33rd.
It just It can't be an auto bogey. You miss a green and you've got to get yourself up and down. As you said, you've got to be gaining or at least neutral or better in terms of strokes going around the green.
Two more takeouts for me. JT, what is this guy doing in major first rounds? Did well to fight back, got me an each-way return at 14-1. So I actually ended up with him and Lowry scoring each-way full, which quite covered my week. And to have two in the top 10 at the Masters, I'm more than happy with that. The other one, the other one that really fried my brain, Brooks Koepka. What happened there? 2 under he was going into, was it 11 or 12?
Cruising.
On Thursday.
Damn.
And he had about a 3-footer for par on 11, missed it and fell apart. He was something like over 3 strokes negative on strokes going putting. He was in the bottom 3 for putting the whole week. I watched something that Nagel's Bagels pulled together at the end of last week. And he had a Corn Ferry player on there. And the guy was saying that, that you know, clearly, you know, locker room chat, that people just do not fear Brooks Koepka anymore. That's what this guy said. You know, that whole being of Brooks and number one and just comes out for majors, people are kind of, whoa. That concerned me with Koepka. That really did. That's not what you expect to see from him at majors. So I don't know if that's going to be a long term. Have we seen as that PGA Championship victory at Bethpage where he almost threw it away in DJ? Did that cause kind of some mental frailty? But he'd never been the same player since.
Well, if the intimidation factor's not there anymore, then
no.
He's got to be playing extremely good golf, and I don't know.
One miss shorting, all fell apart severely. Yeah. I think he then bogeyed 5 of the last 6 or 7 coming home Thursday afternoon.
Yep.
Wow.
That's what that course can do to you, though. If it gets in your head, people just like spin out. Saw Hatton on the weekend, 79 and 80 or something like that. Like he just melted. Brain was
gone.
And
at one stage, he was leading strokes tee to green on the whole field.
And you were talking about him as I'm marking him down for this week.
sorry about that. That came through on the mic. Yeah, I was all over him for this week at the RBC Heritage. And no, I'm not tipping him. And he'll probably now win. But yeah. I said to you, Barry, look at this guy. If he can actually get the putter to warm up, Hatton's nailed on for next week. And then that happened. Anyway, that's a good segue, isn't it? Should we talk about the RBC?
Yes.
The annual, we haven't got any DP World Tour, European Tour action this week. So we've got the RBC Heritage. That's the annual relaxation spot after the Masters. Decent field. Thomas 12-1 favourite. Colin Morikawa at 14-1 with Cam Smith. DJ's lengthened Paul to 18-1 with William Hill. He's the same price as Patrick Cantlay. Then we've got Fitzpatrick and Lowry at 22s. Corey Connors at 25-1. Daniel Berger at 28-1. 30-1 Webb Simpson, who clearly is Mr. Harbour Town. Russell Henley, who's being backed off the boards at 33s. Be careful, because I'm going to go Wacky Neiman at 33s. Tyrrell Hatton, 35s, with Sungjae Im and Jordan Spieth. It's then 45-1 out to Billy Horschel. Right, now, if you're thinking Augusta National, this place is the kind of complete different course setup to what we get at Augusta National. It's a Peak Dye design, Harbour Town Golf Links. Don't be fooled, it's no links whatsoever. 16 of the holes are actually inland in kind of tree-lined parkland. There's 2 holes, the 17th and the 18th, on the coast. We're looking at Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass overseeded with Poa trivialis. We've been seeing that for months before the Masters. We're also looking at the smallest greens apart from Pebble Beach on tour, 3,700 square feet on average. Tends to play as difficult as the wind, as you would expect by the coast. It's a short 7,121 yard par 71. I categorise it as a Carolina golf course. and it's a mid-score kind of target level. It's also a short golf course. Carolina, a typical course that you find tree-lined, lots of dog legs, corridors of trees, effectively. Peat Dye design. If you're looking for other Peat Dye designs, look no further than Austin Country Club, where they played the WGC match play a few weeks ago. Crooked Stick, 2012 and 2016 BMW. Ocean Course, Kira Island, 2012 and last year's PGA. Another windy tournament that was, with Shane Lowry focus came to the top of the leaderboard in. Stadium Course, TPC Sawgrass, the Players. TPC River Highlands, the Travellers. TP Louisiana, where they played the Zurich Classic of New Orleans team event. TPC Stadium, the host course of PGA West, the American Express, and Whistling Straits, 2010-2015 PGA Championships. If you want Peat Dye links, that is the full list. I also link this very closely. I mean, there's quite a few correlating courses I love the look of here. One of them, for some random reason, is the Plantation course at the start of the year, the Century. Loads of top fives there. Sink, Simpson, Couchard, Graham McDowell, Carl Peterson, Schnedeker, Furyk. So a huge link with Kapalua. Another good link also with Sony Open. You won't be surprised by any of these. Wild Eye Country Club. They're all Bermuda grass greens. Big links. Also, top 10 finishes before they win. People win this. Also, huge link with St. Jude, where they played a WGC. They're not going to be playing a WGC this year. I think they're playing one of the FedEx Cup events there this year. I'm also seeing links with Sedgefield Country Club, where they played a Wyndham. None of this is earth-shattering news, really. John Deere Classic, another one. Also, Copperhead, where they play the Valspar. Huge link there. Sink's got a second there. Simpson a second. Wesley Bryan had a seventh there. Brandon Grace. We've got Matt Kuchar's top 10 there. Kyle Peterson's won there. Schnedeker, fourth and eighth. Jim Furyk's won there at Copperhead. So big, big links. I know it's in Florida. I know it's Tampa Bay. But as we've always said, it's more of a Carolina course. The shape of it, the feel of it, just the way it plays. Another good one, especially for older golfers, Cog Hill, where they used to play the BMW. I'm trying to remember where it was. I think it was Chicago way, Cog Hill. It was certainly Illinois. I'm seeing fourth and seventh there for Sink, fifth for Simpson, third for Kuchar, fourth, seventh and tenth for Pettersson. Schnedeker's had a top ten at Cog Hill. Also a win, second, fourth for Jim Furyk. So Cog Hill, the BMW Championship. Another really good link in. Anything you two want to say, or should we crack on straight away with where we're at in terms of the weather and stuff like that? What are your kind of takeouts from the RBC and Harbortown Golf Link?
Yeah, no, I've not got a great deal more to add, to be honest. As you say, it can kind of give you the impression from the name that it's going to be coastal and linksy, but it's not. So, it's not something to get hung up in terms of that description, effectively.
There's also, this won't surprise you either, RSM Classic, end of the year, played at Sea Island, that golfing commune. Sink, 10th. Simpson, 2nd, 2nd, 3rd, 8th. CT Pan, got a top 6 there. G-Max had a third there. Furyk's had a third and a sixth. So, yeah, all these, basically, we've been saying this for a while now, haven't we? On the PGA Tour, there is now this sub-tour of short courses, par 70s, par 71s, where the likes of shorter, accurate, shorter, people that have got excellent approach games, wedge games, putting and scrambling, they're the kind of players you need to be on this week. It's this kind of, my God, there's... You read these quotes quite often. Oh, there's 5 or 6 stops each year. You know, it's a Kevin Kisner sort saying it, where I know that I can go there and, you know, I put a line in the diary. This is one of these tournaments I can actually go and win, rather than these bomber paradises that you get elsewhere. They're the kind of players we're in for this week, in my opinion. Weather-wise, 20 miles an hour, it's going to be blowing on Thursday. It eases by the looks to kind of 10 to 15 on Friday. It doesn't look like to me, hopefully, that there's any kind of bias AM-PM. That's what you would want here, especially when you're putting your tips up on a Monday, you're disappearing on holiday, and all of a sudden you get to the swimming pool and you realise that five of your five selections are actually on the wrong side of the draw. Hopefully we don't get that. There hasn't been a lot of rain here. It's the least amount of rainfall I've seen on Hilton Head Island since 2013 when I started taking notes. So I would not be surprised that even on Thursday, you're getting some good rollout on the fairways. And they do like here, the organisers, they do like the greens to get firm and releasing and a bit bunky Saturday and Sunday just to make it a bit more difficult. They're not afraid of that. They don't seem to get the water bowsers out on Hilton Head Island. They let the course kind of dry out naturally. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was a little bit frisky come the weekend, which is always good. Winning price of winners here. Past eight renewals, 94 to 1. Since 2010, 74 to 1. Now that's a juicy winning price. As you would expect, there's a split. Triple digits. Sink was 150 last year. Pan 160. Satoshi Kodaira, sorry, I had to mention him. 250 to 1 when he won in 2018. So that's three of the last four triple digits. Webb Simpson was 30 to 1 in 2020 when this was actually played in, was it June when we got back from the COVID times? It was a different setting then. Wesley Bryan, 80 to 1. Brandon Grace, 40s. Furyk, 25s. Kuchar, 18s. Another thing I noted, six of the last 12 RBC Heritage winners ranked in the top 18 in the world when they won. So 50% of the last 12 winners, all in the top 18 in the rankings. 7 out of 12 in the top 50. There's also a sweet spot, kind of 66, 68, 73, for whatever reason. And the last two of three winners have been 113 and 115 in the world golf rankings. We haven't had a winner outside the top 115 since 2010. So it tends to be a decent player that wins this, but they can win it at quite a juicy price. That's the kind of steer that I would give you. We have some very good strokes gained analysis this week, Paul, that you've pulled together. Well done. I've used it quite a lot. So basically, we go back to 2016 through 2021. I will put a link in the description where you can see who's done what best at the RBC Heritage over the years. Top five in the rankings. Kuchar, this is strokes gained total. Five is Kuchar, four JT Poston, three Daniel Berger, two Patrick Cantlay, one Joaquin Neiman. Right. I've gone, you know, chaps, for Dustin Johnson. I thought that in my back of my mind, I thought, it's RBC Bank. He's sponsored by them. I don't think he just comes here for a bit of a jolly. I'm not so sure, you know. Because when you actually look at what he's done here, how he's ranked, he reminds me very much of Hideki Matsuyama at the Sony Open in January, where you looked at his record and you went, he don't tend to do a lot here, cross. But I think 18 to 1 he is, I got him at 16s, 18 to 1 this week at the RBC Heritage when he was 16 to 1 last week at the Masters.
Yep.
QED. He was first tier going into the final round in 2019. And that was the year that was the week after Tiger had won the Masters, and him and Brooks Koepka were tied second in that behind Tiger. And he came here, 54-hole leader, and just fell apart on Sunday when the wind was howling. But yeah. I just think you look at DJ, his form it's just priming itself, really, I think. 8th in Saudi, 9th at Sawgrass of all places, Pete Dye Design. Semi-finalist at the Dell Match Play, another Pete Dye Design. 12th last week.
Yeah, he's not far off, is he?
And you've said this to me in the past, and it's true. A lot of people think Dustin Johnson, oh, he's a bomber. No. When he actually can just, he's very, I don't know, when he can just off the tee, three word, take it easy with an iron, which he doesn't mind doing, when he can position off the tee on a short golf course and just use his power. His wins, you know, We're looking at Pebble Beach twice, Southwind twice, Chapultepec twice. These are all short, tiny golf courses. Austin Country Club, Glen Abbey, TPC River Highlands, Pete Dye design. I just think he's ready to win. I think he'll come here motivated. He hasn't won since the Masters in 2020. So I thought 16, 18 to 1 was a good price.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting what you say, because we've done a bit of analysis in the background to look at the last few years and how players have performed from a strokes game perspective on various kind of setups. Dustin Johnson, short courses first. And this is going back to start of 2017 through to the end of the 2021 season for that data. You've got this, not necessarily a preconception, because he is a long hitter, but it doesn't necessarily translate to him performing exclusively on the longest courses. As you said, when he can club down a bit, or he can play the shots that allow him a short iron or wedge into a lot of these greens, then that's where he can really make hay.
Also, strokes gained off the tee in our analysis at this golf course ranks first in the field. He ranks fifth for ball striking in this field, and seventh for strokes gained total over the last six renewals.
Yep.
I'll take that. I'll tell you what, that top five, that ball striking is quite interesting. Five is DJ, four Doug Gim, three Emiliano Grillo, who finished second here last year. Number one, I was going to say two, Abe Anser, but he's withdrawn. Number one, Joaquin Neiman. Who is my next tip? I'm on Neiman. If we're following this trend, you know, of players in the top 18 in the world, but at a deeper price, where we've seen Grace win here at 40 to 1, G-Mac win here at 40 to 1. I loved what Neiman did last week. Went out with Tiger Woods in the group of death and shot 3-under-69 in front of the world's eyes on Thursday last week.
Yeah.
That, to me, he went up in my estimations by a rank or two for me. To be able to do that, to block out all of that noise, all of that kind of weird circus, and just play some fantastic golf on Thursday, I thought Neiman did really well there.
He looked to be buzzing.
I would not
when
be surprised. This to me feels like a perfect wacky Neiman golf course. He was fifth here on his only time round here 2 years ago. Sorry, Barry, what were you going
to
say, mate?
I was just saying he looked to be buzzing when he was playing with Woods. He wasn't, it didn't look like the nerves were hitting him. He was just like embracing it and said, This is amazing.
If anything, I think the adrenaline drop was when he wasn't with Woods on the Saturday and he just collapsed.
Could be.
But he's not far away, is he, Neiman? I don't think he's far away. One at Riviera. No, I could see him going win-win in a couple of months quite easily, Wacky Neiman.
I mean, if this place is running firm and fast this week, a little bit of wind, like his low, stingy ball flight was just going to work a treat.
So I thought. So they're the two I took at the top of the market. I've then gone for some kind of deeper prices. Where are you two guys fishing this week?
Deep.
Yeah, a little bit deeper. And I've got two that overlap with yours, so I won't steal your thunder there.
Oh God!
That's a good thing or a bad thing, I suspect. And when I'm saying that, we were all on Lowry last week, and that didn't turn out too bad.
Well, we're all on the same player this week, and everyone knows who's a regular listener who that will be. But we'll save that.
We'll save that one for a second. I've backed Matt Kuchar here at 60s. Former winner, as we know, 16th at the Valspar, second at the Texas Open on his last start. He actually needed to win, didn't he, at Texas to get into Augusta, which didn't quite happen. But we've talked about Kuchar a number of times in this pod and how he telegraphs his wins, and improving 16th and second is exactly the kind of form line that you see, followed by a one for Matt Kuchar. And the fact that we're getting a 60 to 1 price for this is just testament to the fact there's so much quality at the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah.
But a lot of that quality played last week. A lot of that quality has potentially some mental and physical tiredness baggage from last week that may open the door for one of these guys in these juicy mid-price kind of range.
But that was proved by the average odds of the winners, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. You get bigger price winners here, undoubtedly.
Yeah. But Cooch, I like Cooch. As I say, he's won here. He's won at Sawgrass. We talk about Pete Dye. Second and third at Austin Country Club over the years as well. I think there's a fair amount to like for a guy at that price point who is well capable of performing here, I think.
Mm. So, I had a good look at Cooch.
Yeah, worth a punt, I think. Any apart from the obvious in that kind of bracket for you, Barry?
Somebody who had a rest week. He's third in Steve's rolling strokes gained tee to green rankings. He's fourth in strokes gained total and eighth in approach. So those kind of match up nicely for me. And I think he's trending in a good direction. It's Alex Noren.
Mm. Yeah. Playing some lovely golf. I'd be fascinated to see how he does later on in the year when it moves up the up country to bent grass greens.
Yeah.
I know the greens will work against him a bit, but you know.
Well, they are Power Trivialis Overseed, which I think will suit him better than pure Bermuda. But yeah.
The Bermuda's not as happy hunting ground, but kind of like.
He's got to play well to qualify for majors. I mean, he's going to get into the PGA because I think it's top 100, isn't it? But if, you know, USO, do they have a top 60 category or is it top 50 USO? He's outside a lot of the majors still.
Yeah,
in terms of his qualification. 60. So he's got to keep playing well.
Yeah.
Got to try and get into that top 50 in the world where he was before.
Yeah.
That's what they all want.
Well, capable, isn't
he? Oh, God, yeah. Good play, Noren.
Here's.
I'd rather be back in Alex Noren at that price than say an Adam Hadwin.
Mm.
That's just my personal viewpoint.
I'm just going to throw a name at you guys. He's popped in my head, and I just want to get your thoughts. Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah.
The thing
dead,
with Tommy
dead silence.
No. The thing with Tommy is he's trending and he's getting his old strength back, which is that driver. It's coming. And all of last year, his driving was abysmal. And now you look at Tommy's numbers, the driving is coming back to be his strength. I think the rest of his game will come. Whether it's this week. But, you know, logically he fits, doesn't he? And you're seeing him on a coastal course, even though, okay, it's not pure coast, but yeah.
He can smell the sea.
Available.
Yeah, I missed the cut last year, but he was stinking up the whole golf world last year. So,
better,
but he did 25th a couple of years ago, or sorry, about 3 years ago in 2019 was his only other appearance here, but matching that up with his last, he's what? 20th, 22nd, 16th, 35th, and then 14th last week. It's a lot of good stuff there. Now, I know it could just be an emotional bet because he's an easy guy to root for. So you're like, I put my money on him because it's fun to cheer him on.
I'll throw a name at you, Barry. What about Billy Horschel? Same kind of price.
See, I'd enjoy cheering on Fleetwood more than Horschel, so it's not really a money-making proposition I'm chasing. Is 43rd last week for Billy? That's probably a good week for him at Augusta.
That's one of his best ever Augusta finishes, I expect. He doesn't get on well with Augusta.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, whatever statistic you look at with Billy, he ticks the boxes. But he's one I didn't put up. But he's close, Billy Ho, and we know that he's Bermuda grass. He's a Bermuda grass putter. That's where he gets his results.
Yeah, and he's been putting well, hasn't he? I mean, compared to his game in the...
He's 14th in the world, Paul.
Yeah.
14th in the world. Gets no credit whatsoever. Mm. Wow. So he fits that trend, you know, if he was to win this week, 40-1, top 18 in the world.
Yeah.
He's one that concerns me because I haven't tipped him up. Right, who's going to take us through the bet that all three of us have placed on the same player this week? One of you guys do it.
Go on, then I'll do KK, and then you guys can chip in if you've got anything else to add. His Pete Dye record for a start is second to none, really, isn't it? His record at the match play at Austin Country Club over the years is great. Second recently again to Scotty Scheffler, wasn't he? that was on his previous start, but prior to that, he'd won there. He'd been runner up as well. Fourth at the Players' Championship. I mean, if you're looking for another big Pete Dye pointer, then you're not going to get much bigger than that. You mentioned the Wyndham in your preamble. We won the Wyndham last year. Third at the Sony Open. He's been playing some good stuff, hasn't he? Short courses suit him. Happy on the Bermuda Poa that's here as well. Loads to add, really. Second here in 2015. He lost that playoff, didn't he, to Steady Jim that week. 7th and 11th since then. I don't know. Can you call it a negative finishing 44th last week at the Masters? I don't think so. That's far too long for KK. This is much, much more his bag. Kevin Kisner, 45-1, I think he is now. Again, he's another one of these players that's been heavily backed in the early exchanges of Monday here over in the UK. But anything around that kind of price, 40-45-1, I think is worth a punt each way this week.
Do you know what? I'll chime in this one. He's got a brilliant chance of making the President's Cup team this year. It's wide open. He's currently in 10th spot in their qualification. If he can bag a win, he's pretty much in, I think. With his match play record. Because a win at somewhere like this would boast... It would take him above Homer, Kokrag, Hoagie, Gooch. So he'd be sitting in the top five or six. And I think that's a big motivator to someone like Kevin that's been looked over across Ryder Cups and President's Cups for a lot of times. So wide open that for Team America. You know, you've got Spieth, Xander, DJ, they're all outside. Berger, Reed, they're all outside the qualification spots right now. Things will change, but there's going to be players in that team that you would not have guessed would be in it at the start of the qualification process. I think Kisner could be one of them.
Yeah, good motivating factor for him this week.
Scotty Scheffler, forget this, he's got 10,312 points. The next best is Sam Burns on 6,000. Basically, he's just snaffling all of the points, Scotty Scheffler.
Damn. Yeah. I think he's in the team, Steve.
I think Scotty's in, yeah. So Kisner, I like Kisner this week, but then I always love Kisner on Bermuda. And clearly, Barry is the Kisner whisperer, so he's on.
Nothing further to add. I just needed to let that air out and really hammer home.
I have gone for a player that is very similar to Kevin Kisner. He's the kind of player that wins PGA Tour events and no one gives him credit in the betting market. He was first chalked up this morning at 66-1, which I thought was madness when he's longer than players like Maverick McNealy, Russell Henley and all manner of players beneath him in price. Kevin Na. You just know with that guy, he's a short course specialist that plays these shorter formats and that's where he gets his bread and butter wins. Five PGA Tour victories now. He ranked, get this chaps, at Augusta National, which is probably one of the most alien courses to him. He ranked first for greens in regulation last week and first for strokes gained on approach. Madness.
He's got a sneaky good record there.
Yes.
Four top
15s at Augusta. That's crazy. It's a guy that can't hit it longer than 280 off the tee.
No. On paper, the course doesn't suit whatsoever. So for him to perform there, and what, he finished 14th in the end, I think, didn't he? So just outside that 12th that would automatically give him a spot for next year, but he'd probably get in anyway. But yes.
He made the last 16 as well at the match play, where he got beaten by Will Zalatoris on the 20th hole in the Sweet 16. Mm. He's playing some good stuff now. 66-1 this morning. I managed to grab 55s, 8 places each way.
Yep. No, I'm on Noah as well, Steve. We've talked about him a few times, haven't we? And we talked about him targeting and focusing on these events that he can actually win. And this is one of the targets, isn't it? It's a shorter, less reliance on the par fives. These 70s and 71s are absolutely where he can make hay, and five times the winner on the PGA Tour. As you said, he is always overpriced. He's just one that doesn't get the bookies scribbling and cutting his price down, which is good for a player who can actually get over the line. So, yes, Kevin Na has got to be on the team this week, I think.
He won the Colonial the week after the PGA. So he has got previous where he's won a tournament the week after a major, which I like as well. The other thing I like about Nar, he's got excellent form of that Cog Hill course I mentioned, the old BMW Championship venue. DJ's won at Cog Hill. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Right, any more at this kind of 66 to 100, or are we going to go straight on to triple digits?
Just to throw into the mix. Could it be a chance for Siwoo redemption?
I knew it. I knew the Siwoo whisperer was going to come up the trumps. Playing well.
I've just thrown up die positive and short course positive on the predictor just to see who's popping there. There's Siwoo, 10th.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's a case to be made. Absolutely.
Wasn't he? I think he was kind of top 20 fringy going into Sunday, wasn't he, at the Masters? He was playing well enough. Just seemed to have a bad Sunday, but playing well. Yeah. Playing very well, Siwoo. Bermuda grass, only ever tip him at Bermuda on Bermuda grass tracks. That's where he performs. So, yeah, he's another name, isn't he? Definitely. I would take Siwoo over a Chris Kirk at the same price, for example.
So what happened? 100%. What happened to Siwoo on Sunday? He was going fine, and then he decided to make six bogeys in a row from 9 through 14 to shoot 76. So maybe he just ran out of steam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens. Was he in that kind of position? I think he finished slightly higher. He didn't have that run on Sunday, but he wasn't that million miles away in terms of his form at Augusta when he should have won in 2017. Or was it 2018 with Kodaira? 2017. Anyway. I've got one more, triple digits. Dylan Fratelli, 100-1. 100 and... let me just check before I say the number. 110 in the world. Very similar to Sink and Pan. 8th here in 2020. Was in the final groups at the Valero Texas Open, joint leading with JJ Spawn, Brant Snedeker, and one other I can't remember, the week before the Masters. One of those kind of players that's clearly a dual winner across both main tours, and Paul's told me this in the past, and it's true when you look at his results, and he's done the same on the PGA Tour. When he clicks and you get these tiny periods where things are all coming together for Fratelli, he's a kind of player that goes bang, bang to contending performances on the bounce. See it a lot on his record. Yeah. And he was 5th at a Masters in 2020 and 5th at the Open Championship last year. So the guy's got pedigree. He can mix it at the very top when he's on it.
Yeah.
I just think that when I looked through the odds, I looked at the stats, I looked at his ranking. He's in the top 25 across my approach, play and tee to green over the last 8 weeks. It all kind of merged together, and he's the one I thought, triple digits, I'll take him. So Dylan Fratelli. A John Deere Classic winner a few years ago. So that again, short, tree line, Parkland. Yeah. Also, I remember, because you've told me this, and it's true, Paul, very good on Tiff Eagle Greens in the in Dubai.
Yeah.
Earth Course and Dubai Desert Classic. So he gets on okay with Tiff Eagle, no problem at all.
Yeah, he's got a bit of DP World Tour form, hasn't he? Yeah, yes. I think there's far worse players in that kind of bracket.
Was his first Euro Tour victory at Mauritius as well, Coastal Golf Course?
Oh, you're asking me a question now. Brain is completely frazzled.
Yeah, I know. It was.
Hmm.
So yeah, I know that's past parlum, but he's a winner by the sea. That's my deepest price. Britelli 100-1. I got that with Paddy Power 8 places. Right, over to you two then to end the selections.
Yeah, I've got just a couple that I've backed. One, a similar price to Fratelli. Russell Knox I've backed 125-1.
You got 125?
I've had to compromise on the price on the places, but you know that I can't resist a price like that.
There you go, Barry. He's 125-1 on Russell Knox. If there's one player you need every single living place for, it's Russell Knox.
Oh, I don't know. It could be Paul. His week.
Oh, Paul.
Here comes the inevitable tie for ninth.
He's not. But you didn't even take him 8 places. A tie for 6th or 7th sounds like he's going to be failing.
Yep.
Oh, dear. But, yeah, you know, I just can't resist.
Paul.
No, but listen, there's a case for Knox. There's another one, isn't
there? There's a case, yeah.
Yeah, he's another one who's better on the shorter courses and... I think he's quietly playing some half-decent golf at the moment. If you look through his record, 3 times he's led the field for greens in regulation over his last 13 starts. So the irons are generally very, very strong. 7th at the Sony, 6th at Sawgrass recently as well. 2nd here in 2016, that was the year that Brandon Grace won. A couple of top 11 finishes alongside that as well here at Harbour Town. If you look at his raw record, and this is probably why you're getting the price this week, 3 missed cuts on his last 3 starts here, 57th and 61st, his 2 finishes since the Players. But I think it's a little bit better than that. He was handy going into Sunday at the Valspar around the top 20 kind of position. He led after the first round at Texas on his last start. So there are signs of life there. And this is a guy that's won some decent tournaments over the years. He's won the WGC HSBC Champions, didn't he? He won the Travellers, won the Irish
Pete
Open.
Pete Dye Design.
Yeah. He won the Irish Open on the DP World Tour. That was a Rolex Series event. So he's a capable guy, and I think this course suits him. So, yeah, I've had to compromise on places, and that may well come back and bite me on the backside. But, I'll take my chances. So Knox is in. I've also, just before we came on air, backed Jim Herman, the Herminator, 500-1, just because I like to back Jim Herman at mad prices, and he does occasionally get over the line.
He's your Matt Every replacement, isn't he, Jim Herminator Herman?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's perfect.
It's either him or Ted Potter, but Herman's in this week.
Ted Potter's disappeared off the tour, and Jim Herman will in a couple of months' time, but you're still going to back him until that point.
Yeah. Just because.
How's Herman looking for first round leader? Because he took off okay the last time you backed him, didn't he?
He did. You're right. Yeah. He got me reasonably excited for a while, and then he ended up. He made the cut, which is not such a bad thing for Jim. He was right at the bottom of the players who did make the cut. But, he got off to a half-decent start. I think if you can get a week where Herman's in a half-decent position going into the weekend and it just clicks for him, and then he can go and put an absolute, you know, he's the kind of player who bangs in a couple of 64s or a couple of 63s or something mad and just records another win on his record. He's capable of doing it.
Maybe he's a round one live punt. Once you actually see that he's moving.
Yeah, potentially. You won't get the price on him, but if you get some signs that he's playing some good stuff, and I think there have been just a few little indications. What was he, 7th at Puerto Rico recently, wasn't he?
Yeah.
That's decent enough. We'll see.
He wins off missed cuts or like 59ths or something, but if you do see something, he's one to crack on, yeah. Mm. What about you, Barry? Big price.
Big price. Coastal short. Graham McDowell. See if he's got over that little injury that had him withdraw there recently. Himself and another one I was eyeing up. I'm not backing all of these, by the way. I'm not losing the run of myself, but another one I've got him looking at is Erik van Rooyen. So his recent record has pushed his price out, and actually it's not... It reads worse than it is, because the 60th was match play, and that can just happen to anybody. And then last week is Augusta, and I just you know, you can kind of just wash that one aside. Sometimes guys just can't handle it. But before that, he'd a 13th. And he's at a 21st tier 2 years ago. He's 100-1. Just looking at him.
Kind of price that wins. Tell you the other one I thought, didn't back him, but I thought was interesting. Charles Schwarzel, 10th at the Masters. I'm seeing him at 150-1. Mm. 8 places.
Yeah.
What did Stuart Sink do last year? Don't forget,
that's a guy that won at Valspar. Copperhead. You know what I was saying about the link?
It was interesting listening to him in an interview over the weekend, because he was coming off the back of, what, 6 straight miscuts, I think. So you'd have needed a crystal ball to put him up for a top 10 last week. But
he was second going into the weekend at the Masters.
He said that, you know, despite the results that are clear for everyone to read, he said he'd been playing some decent golf, and, you know, that the manifestation of that last week was a top 10 at Augusta. And, you know, he enjoys the courses. Obviously a Masters champion of days gone. But, yeah, you drop him a little bit of levelling class this week. And I don't know. Yeah. Again, there's worse bets out there, I think.
Interesting name. I think that's us, chaps.
Indeed.
Are we done?
Yeah, we need to stop or else I'll just coming up with names and start betting money. So,
okay. Well, we've done this recording on Monday because I'm disappearing off to Fuerteventura for a week. So there will be no podcast next week. Paul will be putting all of his content out, though. What is your event next week, Paul?
Yeah, it's a new one. It's the ISPS Handa Championship in Spain, it's called, which has been played on the Lakes course in Tarragona. So some research required into said course. And the players that are playing. But yeah, pop along to the site Monday evening next week. I will have a preview out and a few selections, no doubt, to see who will go well in Spain.
Just what you need, Paul, like to make the European tour picks even easier. New course, new everything.
I think it's, apart from Qatar, I think it's been a new course or a new event for about the last 3 or 4 on the DP World Tour. But yeah, can't complain. It's nice to get back into some action over there, and we'll have some good events that come up over the next few months on the DP World Tour. So something to get our teeth into.
We've got a new event the week after when the podcast is returning. The Mexico Open at Vedanta. Don't ask. I know nothing about it. It's a 7,456-yard par 71. It's a Greg Norman design. Apart from that, I know nothing. So that will be the PGA Tour action on our next podcast. So we look forward to that. Good luck with your bets, chaps.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, enjoy the week. You enjoy too. Your holiday, Steve.
I'll try to, mate.
Enjoy the Kisner win on Sunday.
Mate, it will taste sweet with a nice cold beer. Seeing Kevin Kisner bring home the bacon or Kevin Na. Clearly, they both missed the cut and I'll be very depressed on my Easter Sunday. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I hope your bets go well, listeners. And we will be back, yes, week after next. It will be the next podcast. That will be podcast number, he says, checking his script. Was it 207?
207, yes.
207. Enjoy your golf till then. We'll be back then. If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf.